just an idea about Pesach, coming up to Pesach a little bit already. There's a big theme in the Pesach halachas and everything else we prepare, that fire becomes a big symbol of things that we're involved with. We make the matzah with fire. We roast the Korban Pesach with fire, now with water. We do kashering things with fire. We burn the chametz with fire. Fire is a big deal. And when it comes to, and it's getting hot outside also. And when we talk about Sukkot, you have an opposite theme. You have a sign of the rain. We're asking for rain, Shiva Roch Merit Hashem. If it rains in the sukkah, that's a bad sign, but that's the time it's to rain. They do pouring water on the Mizbeach. That's the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim, Simchat HaBeit HaShoeva. There's a lot of things that have to do with water in that time. So what's the difference between Pesach and Sukkot? That one has to do with fire, one has to do with water. So I saw this in the name of Noach Weinberg, Ish. So he had an idea, the following idea, that Shalom Shimon, good to see you. So the reason that fire is such a big theme in Pesach is because the word in Hebrew for fire is Ish, Aleph Shin. There's no plural. Ishim means like korbanot, doesn't mean fires. There's no such plural of the word fire. Fire is singular. Mayim, on the other hand, water, is always in plural. There's no such thing as singular. When we say mehayam or whatever it is, it sounds like singular. That's really referring to a body of ocean, not referring to drops of water. So whenever we're talking about water, we always say mayim in plural. Why is it that water is always plural and fire is always single? So Weinberg wanted to say that the koach of Eish is often to put things together, to make things coalesce, to come together, to refine them, to join them, to create a unit. And Pesach is all about that theme. That Elakachta Mitzchami Kur HaBarzel, it says in Devarim, Hashem took us out from the fiery furnace of Mitzrayim to make us a unit of Klal Yisrael. So he took us out of the fire. Just like a jeweler wants to see if something is finished in the fire, he takes it out and he molds it a little bit while it's still soft in the fire, and it comes together. That's the lesson that we have from Mitzrayim, and that's why Pesach, the theme of fire plays so prominently. We said before, the burning the matzot, the burning the chametz in fire, making the matzot on fire, the Korban Pesach on fire. Many things having to do with it. The bedika chametz with a candle with fire, all the things. As opposed to on Sukkot, it's a different theme. The theme is mayim, mayim's in plural. We want to not create one nation. There we want to represent all the shivim umot. We have 70 korbanot from Odu Olam. We want to represent the dal minim. Everybody has a personalization, an individualism, and everybody has a personality. So that's why mayim is always plural. Because water, if you put water sometimes on things, on food or on natural, organic things, it breaks it down. It makes it dissolve. Because it takes things and breaks them apart. So there's a good aspect of Sukkot. Everybody, all the Shiva Ishbizin, we look up to, we learn from their midot. When it comes to Pesach, we're not about Shiva Saminim. When it comes to Pesach, it's all Shiva it's not about Arba Minim, different types of Jews or types of Shiva Saminim, Shiva Ishbizin. Pesach is all about we're come together. The Kur HaBarzel. That we come together as one. That's the lesson that we have from fire. That fire is ma'ached. It brings everything together. That's why fire is always in singular. So now let's learn a halachot about the fire. Okay. So we're up to Mishnah Shulchan Aruch Shin Yud Chet Sif Hei, and it's talking about if you already cooked something. We said last time, and we're going to try to clarify this. We'll see if we'll finish tonight or maybe next time with all the rules of cooking. So the main rule we discussed last time was if something is raw, you can't cook it. But if something is already cooked once, in bishul achar bishul, it's already cooked once, you can't, there's no problem with cooking a second time. And we said that there was a machlok and rishon, what if something was liquid? Something was lach, if it's liquid, is it called recooking? Because when it cools down, maybe it's considered like it was not cooked. There's no point in the fact that it was cooked the first time. So therefore, when you cook it again, it's a problem. That's the opinion that we follow in Shulchan Aruch, that we assume for liquids are considered cooking. Okay, what do you say, bishul achar afiyah, or afiyah achar bishul? If you switch up the process of cooking, so first time I cooked it, now I'm going to bake it, or I baked it, now I want to cook it. So for example, I take challah, that was baked, and now I put it into my soup. Is that mutar or asur? What do we say? Okay, all the matching, 2 out of 3. Roberta, you agree? So good. So we have now, why do we say it's mutar? Okay, so we have everybody here voting agreeing. Now, it's a machloka rishonim. Let's read it inside Shulchan Aruch, and we'll see what exactly is the machloka about. The first opinion is like this. Yesh Misha Omer. There's one opinion that says, Davar Shenefa O Nitzla in Bishlach or Kach B'mashke Yesh Misha Mishul. If you cook something in a fire and then you cook it in liquids, that's going to be Bishul. Yesh Bishul Achar Afiyah. And then the Asur Litein Par Afiyah B'Klishe Nisha Yatzel Lizba. You can't take challah, break it up, and put it in your challah bowl. Why? It's even though it's a klishe ni. There are two reasons we should say this mutar. First of all, you can't cook after you cooked. And also, klishe ni. He says, we don't hold of either of those rules. We're machmir on both. We're machmir on both. Why are we machmir on the klishe ni? Any ideas? So, why is this opinion? Let me read it. Let me make it clear. The first opinion Shulchan Aruch just said, I can't take challah, I can't take a piece of bread, and put it in soup that's klishe ni. Now, it's putting food in a klishe ni, but I thought last time we established a rule, klishe shon cooks, klishe ni doesn't cook. So why is this opinion, the first opinion Shulchan Aruch said, you cannot take the bread and put it in your soup, but your soup is klishe ni? Okay, so this opinion is worried that we say kale habisha, something cooks quickly and easily, then it's going to cook. This opinion holds, bread is kale habisha, it cooks quickly, it's easy, it's soft. Soft. That's this opinion. So the Yerayim. The Mishnah Bura there is learned that we're going to be worried about many foods. Almost all foods we worried are. The Gemara leaves a lot of gray area. It tells you one thing is Kale Bishul, salty fish. That's small fish. Kulais is spunin. That's Kale Bishul that cooks quickly, these small fish. It says, we know certain things are not Kali Bishul. Spices are not Kali Bishul. Those are Mutar and Klishini. Salt is the two opinions in the Gemara. We assume salt is not definitely not Kali Bishul. It says ox meat is definitely not a Kali Bishul. Chicken is also not Kali Bishul. That's the things as far as I know. And oil is not Kali Bishul. Those are things we know in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't give us such a comprehensive list. What about the other 99% of foods? Okay, so that's correct. Fine. So now, Shimon, if you'll find me sources, I'd love to hear you. Show me. So continue when you find it, tell me. So that's the first opinion. Is worried all foods might be included in Kal Bishul. Chacham Avadia, as we said last time, is not worried about this opinion. We assume only certain foods are Kal Bishul. There are things that look soft. So tea leaves, we're worried are Kal Bishul. The bread we're worried is Kali Bishul. But besides those, we assume most things are not Kali Bishul. Okay, but anyway, go ahead. This is in, you're reading in Tiferet or you're reading in? Excellent. So that's correct. Enechanami, that's Rav Avadya's opinion. That's the Sephardi poskim. But it's not the Gemara. The Gemara only says that it's Kali Bishul. Yeah, the Gemara leaves 99% of fruits in the dark. It doesn't tell you which things are and which things aren't. The Chacham Avadya, as we said, is lenient. He says, we don't assume things are Kali Bishul. Only things we can say Kali Bishul is what the Gemara said and what the Rishonim added, like bread and the sardines and the egg. That's it. But everything else we don't have to assume is Kali Bishul, and maybe the tea leaves. Okay, so it cooks quickly. It means, like, imagine if you take a raw egg and you put it in hot sand. It's going to cook. It'll cook even in a hot day in the desert. It's going to cook with maybe, 180 degrees or something like that. 150 degrees, 200 degrees maybe. You don't need more than that. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the for health reasons, they say 150 degrees makes eggs not be raw. 150. That's not very hot. You could make your oven. You never put it lower than 200, 250, 300, 350. Your simple fire on the stove is always 300. It's never going to be 100, 150 degrees. If you want to cook something 150 degrees, it's very easy. It's with a magnifying glass or just a hot summer day with hot sand, you can get 150 degrees. It could cook the egg. Most foods like meat, you cannot cook with 150 degrees. It's going to take forever and it won't cook properly. But you need 300 or 400 or 500, you know, 300 and up. Most people, when they cook, they use that much heat. So things that cook quickly and easily. There's a lot of science. If someone goes like culinary school or whatever, there's a science behind cooking. There's chemical reactions that change the food in the cooking. Starches and sugars, they break down at certain temperatures. They turn brown when you make like a dough into bread or whatever. They turn colors. But eggs, you know, they cook much more quickly because there are a lot of protein that break down quickly. Whatever, it's certain chemical things that happen. In terms of the way that is brought in the Sephardi Poskim, they say something soft versus something hard. That we're worried more about Kali Bishul on something soft. Okay, anyway, that's why bread we're worried is Kali Bishul. Anyway, that first opinion, Shulchan Aruch says that there is an issue of recooking something that was baked or baking something that was cooked. Okay. What about the next opinion? Yesh matirim, some say it's a mutar. Now, what were they going on? If you have in front of you Shulchan Aruch, look inside. Were they only coming to matir kli sheni? Sorry, sif hay. Shin yud chet, maran sif hay. There are two very important, there's one very important question over here. When it says in Shulchan Aruch that Shulchan Aruch was matir, there are two opinions. One opinion says asur to do bishul achar afiyah. You cannot put the chal in the soup. Another opinion says mutar. Does yesh matirim only matir kli sheni, specifically soup? Or in matirs the whole thing? So look at the Ramah. The Ramah offers an opinion how to explain what Shulchan Aruch means. He says, that's correct. But here, if you look carefully, it's yesh v'yesh. Yesh v'yesh. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. If you look even more carefully, Or Litzion makes this diuk. It's singular and plural. Yesh mish omer and yesh matirin. That's, I think, could be plural. Matirim. It doesn't say yesh mi shematir. Yesh matirim. It could be plural. Okay, I don't know if that's a diuk. I'm saying the Or Litzion in other contexts misses diuk. When Shulchan Aruch quotes yesh and yesh, and he quotes one singular, one plural, it means we follow the plural. But over here, anyway, we follow the second opinion. Okay? So we should follow the Yesh Matirim. The question is, what do the Matirim allow? Do they allow only Kli Sheni, or we should say the whole thing? So the Ramah says, I know. Oh, be Kli Sheni. They only allowed in the Kli Sheni. Yesh Mekilim, Afilim Kli Shon. Then there's even more Mekil opinion, even in Kli Shon. So there are three opinions. One allows altogether. There's no such thing as recooking cooked food. It doesn't matter, cooking, baking, frying, toasting, it's all the same. You can recook, rebake anything. That's the most lenient opinion. The most strict opinion says you can never recook or rebake anything unless it's the exact same way. And there's a middle opinion, you only can do it in a kli sheni. And then the Ramah says, Nagu lahazir lechachila, they're lechachila strict for this. Shalotim patafil b'kli sheni kol zman she'atzel ezba. Fine. So, if so, that's the Ramah. The Ramah's opinion is, we don't say Bishul Achar, if you ain't Bishul Achar, Bishul Bayafia. Very good. So if you're by Ashkenaz, Shulchan Aruch, according to the Ramah, also holds like that, except by Kli Sheni. Very good. However, Chaim Ovadia argues. There's a big machloke, Chaim Ovadia and Rav Masas and others. I'm sure in the Teferi they bring this down. Unfortunately, I'm not my Teferi, but Rav Masas has the following. He says, when it says Matirim, it means only Kli Sheni. It's only going on the last case. This first case, the first opinion says, all asur, and even klisheni, and yesh matirim. Some are lenient on klisheni, specifically there, and no more. It's limited. That's for a masas. So you can allow with the bread and the soup, but you cannot allow taking, let's say you have chicken, You make chicken and you boil chicken in a soup. Can you take out the chicken and then put it on the blech, on a hot plate in the morning and bake it? It's going to be heated up, dry heat. What do you say? Boiled chicken, can you put back on the hot plate in the morning? Of course, why? Isn't that cooking, baking after cooking? What? But this is afiyah achar bishul. No, on the hot plate, on the hot plate, hot plate is afiyah. It's a dry cooking. Afiyah means any dry cooking. So that's where this gets... Okay, if you follow the Chacham of Ahazya, then we're Mikel, because we hold that there's no Bishul Acharfia or Afia Achar Bishul. Very good. And if you hold like Rav Masas, then we're going to be more strict. You only allow a klisheni. You could put the challah into your soup. That's at least a klisheni, but you cannot put the boiled chicken back on the hot plate because that's going to be in a kli rishon. If it had liquids the first time and now it has solids, now it's just dry heat, that's going to be a problem because you're switching it up. Just to give the explanation behind this opinion, the Chazon Ish says the easy explanation behind this opinion is, as long as you're changing something, well, then you're improving it. You're making it more for what you want it to be useful for. That's a problem. So in other words, what could you do? You're allowed to do the exact same thing. That's just reiterating, just re-enhancing the food the same way you did the first time. So that's not a problem. You're taking the same thing, you're just doing the repeating it. So you cooked it once, you can cook it again. You baked it once, you can bake it again. But it's going to come out with a little different taste if you take something that's boiled, like boiled chicken, and then you toast it on the hot plate. Okay? We talked about the other time. Is there makave patish? Is it considered making something special if you toast challah on the hot plate? Ben Ishchai, machmir. It's makave patish. Chacham Avadia was matir. Okay? Now, back to this question of Masas versus Chacham Avadia. Rav Yitzchak Yosef says they found, I believe he said by Morocco, maybe I forgot, maybe it's Tunisia. They found an old version of a Kitvei Yad of Shulchan Aruch, a very old copy from end of 1500s or whatever, very old copy, and says over there, it doesn't say klisheni. It says very clearly. The first opinion said, someone says it's asur bishul acharfia, and yesh matirim, it says nothing about klisheni. So according to that girsa, according to that version, it's obvious. I mean, it's like Chacham Avadia. It's a major machloka, whether it's mutar asur. Anyway, going back to one of the proofs, though, just to give some background on this machloka, it's very relevant to Pesach time. The Gemara in Brachot, Daf Lamed Chet, and Psachim at the end, has a question. What if I take matzah, and I have one of the hard matzahs, and it's difficult to swallow so much? So you know what I do? I put some water on it, and I soak it in water, and I bake, and you know what, forget it, soaking in water. I boil it in water. I boil my matzah in water. So this way it's soft. So I made some soft matzah. Am I yotze, will I be yotze in the mitzvah of matzah shal mitzvah on the Seder night? What do you say? Oh, good, very good. So matzah shiruya, if it's just soaked in water, then lichachila, we don't do it, but b'dieved, you're yotze. If it's just soaked in water. If you cook it in water, machluk it in the tanim, machluk it in the gemara. But we hold over there, it does not work. Okay, so that's why some are even meikel, or Chacham Avadia is meikel, fry on erev Pesach, you're not allowed to have matzah. Could you have cooked matzah? Could you have matzah balls on erev Pesach? So it's a machluk. According to the Chacham Avadia, it's mutar because it's not the type of matzah you could be yotzei or mitzvah with, because it's cooked. Now, why is that true? When it's cooked, you're not yotzei. Says the Gemara, because the bishul is mevatel the afiyah. The cooking ruins the baking. So you see, this is a proof to the first opinion, Shulchan Aruch. This is the Yireim. Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, one of the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Tam, of the Baalei Tosfot, later Baalei Tosfot, the Reim, Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, his opinion is the first opinion of Shulchan Aruch. He says, you see from the Gemara, if you cook after you bake, it ruins the baking. It's considered cooked now. So you see, it's considered like you improved it. And therefore, it's Asur on Shabbat. That's the Reim's opinion. However, Rabbeinu Peretz and the Smak, they come and argue. They say they disagree. That's not a proof. The reason the Gemara says that it's considered different is because it used to have a taste of matzah. You have to taste the matzah. And when you bake the matzah, you taste like good matzah. When you cook it after you baked it, it doesn't taste like matzah anymore. It changed. That's a problem. But in terms of whether it's considered an effective cooking, that's not a problem. Okay? Therefore, you're not going to be considered cooking with respect to Shabbat. Okay? Also, we could talk about this legabe regarding bishul akum. Okay, I don't know if it's so common, but if you had something that was already baked and now a non-Jew cooked it, or something that was cooked, now the non-Jew is going to bake it. Is that going to be bishul akum? Same sort of question. Fine. What about, we have coffee grinds, right? If you have raw coffee, not the instant coffee. Instant coffee, mutar to make on Shabbat, in a Kli Sheni, no question, maybe in Kli Rishon, because the coffee is cooked, the instant one. What about the coffee grinds, which are not cooked yet? They're roasted. Excellent. We're going to come to that. Halacha Brura mentions that. I want to get to that. I think I understand it, but I just want to go over the depth of that halacha. What do you say on the regular case? Not flavored, plain ground coffee. So they roast it. They don't cook it fully. They take the beans, they roast them, and then they cook it in water. So some want to say this is exactly what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Could you take roasted things that are sli, things that are baked ones, and then do bishul on them? Machlok rishonim, we're mekel. Are we mekel kli rishon on kli sheni? Machlok chamavadya Rav Masas. Okay, let's say you hold like even Rav Masas, you could do kli sheni. Take water from the urn, that's already kli sheni. I take the urn, I turn it, press the button, it goes into my cup, and then I put the beans in, perfect. And then I put the raw beans in kli sheni mutar, right? Some want to say, no, that's wrong. You can't say that. Because the beans, after they're roasted, are not edible. Who eats raw, roasted beans? So, Chaim Avadia said, when he was young, he said he saw people that ate it. They ate it. When people go on traveling, they would eat it. Rav Yitzchak said in Repora Yosef, in many years ago, they would have... they have like a coffee stand, and they'd have raw beans, and sometimes a person, they wouldn't have water in the urn or no sugar. So they would just take the coffee beans, and people would, he was not there for so long or whatever. He said this is what he heard that people used to do. They'd eat raw coffee beans. It is possible to eat them. Well, it's probably as he says, it's true. It comes from the tree. It is possible to eat. So b'shad chak, you can eat them. Okay. So then maybe, and they talk about this regarding, bishul akum as well. But either way, it is nachal kum shulchai. Dad, have you ever heard of people eating raw coffee beans? I don't know. But either way, if we do think that you could drink raw coffee beans, yes. Okay, so I think most people don't have the raw coffee beans. So if so, then we're really back to our original question. If you could make the raw beans, even though they're roasted, could you cook them in, are you able to cook them in a Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni? So if we hold that they're Kalei Bishul, so then we could do them, we should not do them in Kli Sheni. Well, they're not Kalei Bishul, then you should not do them in Kli Sheni. I think we hold Ikar Hadin. First of all, anyway, they're roasted, and according to some opinions, Chaim Avadia still thinks that b'shad chak, sometimes in extenuating circumstances, you would eat the raw beans, and therefore you can do them in a kli sheni. You put them in a kli sheni, you can make them. If you want to be machmir and do a kli shlishi, it's a worthwhile chumrah to make them in a kli sheni. Now, Rabbi Wiederblick, when I was talking about, with other rabbi with people, they said maybe you should say, and this is a good argument, I think, that today in America it's very common people have cold brew. They soak the beans. They soak the coffee beans for a long time to get out the flavor. And if you leave it soaking for a long time, you get out the flavor. You didn't cook it. That makes it edible. Now, you're not going to eat the beans. You throw out the beans, but you drink the flavor from the beans. So maybe that should be considered at this point, like it's edible. To now it's common to eat them the way they are. Okay. Some say yes. Some say no. It's not such a clear proof. I think in Halacha Brura, in the footnotes, he brings this up, and I think he does not accept that argument. Because you're not eating them that way. That's just a way to get out the flavor, and it's not the same way that eating them raw and after they're being soaked. Okay, but I think it's an argument you could make, maybe, to support what Chaim Avadya said. Anyway, could you cook the coffee beans in Kli Sheni? But as we said right now, the Ikar Adin is you could cook them in Kli Sheni, L'chachila in Kli Shlishi. Okay, now, what happens, though, with the flavored beans? Or beans that have some mixture of things that are not cooked. So this is what Shimon was bringing before. Now that, let's say you have majority, and this is something I know hardly about because I never drink it, but via Starbucks coffee, it's a flavor or whatever that they have, which has partly instant coffee and partly the coffee beans that are micro ground. They grind them up very small. So this way, when you put them in the water, They cook and then they dissolve. So the part that's not cooked, it's just roasted, is not cooked. And yet they put it in there and they're going to maybe cook it on Shabbat. The reason they do it is so it tastes fresh. Question is, are you allowed to do that on Shabbat in a Kli Sheni? Okay. If we're not worried that coffee is Kli Kali Bishul, Ikar Adin, yeah, you could do. For the roasted coffee ones. For the flavored ones, you still have to deal with, is the flavor in Kal Bishul. But let's say we want to be Machmir, we want to assume maybe it is Kal Bishul. Or the flavoring case. What do we say about that? You have a flavoring, are you allowed to do that in a Kli Sheni? And why not? So Shimon already told me. But why yes, why no? Any thoughts? Oh, very good. Okay, they're part of it. It's not good. Ah, excellent. Batel. I was going to say Batel even less than Shishim. So, Batel Barua. Wow. Okay. They talk about this the following case. In the Sufganiyot, they have jelly. So, they already cooked. When they made the jelly is like a preservative, whatever, and they cook it. So, this way it should be pasteurized. And you're allowed to take the Sufganiyah with the jelly inside and put it on the hot plate on Shabbat. Why? Because the jelly, even though it's like a liquid, but it's minority compared to the rest of the Sufganiyah. Fine. That's what Chaim Avadya said. However, what would we say when they make the jelly and they put some water, apparently, this is what they do today. I don't know why they do this, but they take jelly and they water it down. So they take jelly that had pasteurized, was cooked, and then they water it down with water. And then they put that in the Sufganiyah. Now, you want to know, could you put that on the hot plate? Chaim Yitzchak gave the shir this year before Purim, and he said that this year this is a thing that people are doing. They use the concentrated jelly, and they add some water, and then they make the sufganiyot. All right, whatever, it's cheaper. I don't know. Anyway, are you allowed to put that on the hot plate? Or do you say, batel birov, majority of the jelly was already cooked. Part of it wasn't. So you say a majority. Same thing with... So Rav Hirsch Schachter said, by the via coffee, that it's batel berov, the part of it that was micro ground uncooked to the part that was ready cooked. And therefore, batel berov, we look at it as though it's all cooked, and therefore it's going to be not a problem to use even a Kli Sheni, because it's all like it was ready cooked, and therefore, ein bishul achar bishul, okay, it could be more lenient. Now, many opinions disagreed with him. They disagreed. They thought this is a difficult explanation. And it comes down to how do you explain Shulchan Aruch, not in this case, but a very important case in Shulchan Aruch. If we skip ahead to, one second, let me find it. if somebody was making a, someone was making a cholent, and they put in a little bit of salt before Shabbat, and they forgot to put in enough salt. And then Shabbat day, they remember, oh, I have to put in salt. So they put in a lot more salt. Shabbat morning, they open up the crock pot, they dump in the salt. They should not have done that. Now the question is, could they eat the cholent? What? No, they can't close the crock pot. They closed the crock pot already. They didn't ask any shaylah. Now they ask the shaylah. Are you allowed to eat this cholent? So Shavano brings this case. I don't know where it is. In our siman. Hold on, let me find it. It's the Ramah. Okay, one second. If I don't see it, safe chat. Thank you. Very good. Excellent. Thank you. Shimon found it. Safe chat. They talk about the salt, and then they bring this case. So they say the following. I'm just going to read it because now we'll do the salt case. This is Shulchan Aruch Sif Tet Shin Yuchet Sif Tet. It says like this: Kli Rishon, something that's on the fire, right off the fire. Achashiver Mal Eish. If you took it off the fire, a pot you took off the fire. Mevashel it cooks. Close Machi. That's all it was. As long as it's hot, that you'd burn yourself if you put your hand in. Lefikacha. So Litein the Tovat Tevelin. You cannot put spices in a Kli Rishon, but you could in a Kli Sheni because it's not Kali Bishol. Aval Melach salt you can put in a Kli Rishon off the fire. Mumelach Mutar Litein. Salt needs a lot of cooking. It's very tough, like ox meat. Ox meat doesn't cook without a lot of cooking on the fire, so too salt. Good. Some forbid putting in the salt there, machmir, that salt cooks very easily. We hold like the first opinion. Okay. Then I want to skip to the Ramah. In the end, he says, Im avar v'natan, I feel a clear rishon. In the end of the Ramah, he says, I made a mistake and I put the salt in on Shabbat. In a clear rishon, on the fire. I feel ala ish, on the fire. Avar isur, I made a mistake. Mutar ha-machal, you can eat it. Shemel batel, agabe machal. Machal, it's batel. It's from the Shibule Haleket. It's considered nullified. Now, nullified in how much? Does not say in Shulchan Aruch. Nullified in majority or nullified in shishim. So this is a big machloket. Big machloket. Okay? You're saying it is, there is 60 in the whole crock pot and the whole cholin compared to the salt. Okay, but what if you had a very small cholin? And you add a lot of salt. It's very unhealthy. But there's more than 60. More than 1 in 60. You have a cholent that's only 5 ounces, and you add half a teaspoon of salt. Not healthy, but it's more than 1 in 60. So it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch so clearly. So they argue about the following. What happens if I made a terrible mistake? Same thing. I take cold water from the tap and put it into my cholent because I saw my cholent was burning. We had 4 solutions. Shimon brought us the other day. What happens when your cholent's burning? Okay. But what if I didn't do any of them? I did the worst of the options. I took the cholent and I used cold water. Well, I made a mistake. Now, that's going to be asur bahana. I'm not allowed to benefit from that. I can't eat it. Masa Shabbat. I'm not allowed to do it. Okay. And we said for sardim, even bishogig. You're not supposed to benefit. Okay. So is it batel? Is it nullified? So machloket. The opinion of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, he says, Batel Barov, majority. This is not like Macholos Asurot. This is not like Treif. Treif, you need a Mevatel B'Shishim. Can't taste it. This is less than that. As long as it's Batel Barov, Mutar. However, Prima Gadim learns it's Asur. And he learns from the Magen Avraham, who says from Rashba, even if you cooked on Shabbat, not only did you make a mistake, it makes Batel Shabbat, it makes the pots non-kosher. You have to kosher the pots. It's like Bliot of Treif. Okay. Then, say, need shishim to mevatel. So, Rishlomo Zalman Orbach has a tshuva mincha shlomo. He says the same thing should be relevant over here in our seif. Do you need mevatel berov or shishim? Should be a machloket, shochan achorav, and prima gadim. And he wants to follow prima gadim. He wants to be machmir on that. The Rishlomo Kluger, just a tiny story. Rav Avadya always likes to quote Rishlomo Kluger. He's a big posek in the 1800s. Big posek, and he's very mekel, has tons and tons of tshuvot, tons and tons of sorry, almost more than almost anybody in his generation. He wrote on Chumash, tons of volumes. He wrote on Shulchan Aruch, he wrote on Gemara, he wrote at Shela and Tshuvot. Elif Lecha Shlomo is his tshuvot, and those are the summary of his son. His son summarizes tshuvot to make it shorter. There's thousands of tshuvot. Anyway, they have the story just about him when he was once walking the street. He was a little boy, helping his grandfather walk on the street to get some soup from a soup kitchen because they had no food. And his parents both died from illness. And he was a yatom, and he was living with his grandfather. And somebody saw him, and they said, where are you going? He said, oh, we're going to the soup kitchen. He said, oh, come to my house. I'll invite you for a meal. And they invited for a meal. And sooner or later, they kept inviting for a meal. And soon they adopted this little boy and the grandfather. And the grandfather passed away soon enough. And then this family adopted the kid, and they gave him a malame, they gave him a teacher, and they raised him until he was an important person. Who was that? That was the Dubna Magid. The Dubna Magid, who was a Talmid of the Gra, he was Dubna Magid, he was the one that adopted Shlomo Kluger. This Shlomo Kluger that we quote all the time, as Chan Tshuva, was an adopted kid, he lost an orphan, and his adopted father was the Dubna Magid. He became a Rav in a big town. In Vilna or something, or Shlomo Kluger. So he owed a lot of thanks to the Dubna Magid, to his adopted parents. Anyway, he thinks the main opinion here is like the Shulchan Aruch. It goes by a majority, even in our Sif. So, as long as there's a majority, you could say it's Batel. So, based on that, Shachter wanted to say the same concept should apply to the via coffee, to say it's batel berov. It's an amazing chidush. It goes into lots of sigyot. Rishlomo Zalman disagrees strongly with that. He says it can't be that you can make something not cooked, batel, and make it like it's cooked. I understand when you have non-kosher and kosher, then kosher overpowers and nullifies the things that are not kosher. A lot of people are learning kashrut this year, the chulin. We talk about rov. Yeah, that makes it removes the status of non-kosher. But who said it transforms it to something that's not? Right now it's not cooked. You're transforming it to something that was cooked. How do we do that? It transformed. But ma'aseh, it's a big machloket. So Halacha Barah brings this discussion. He doesn't quote Reshechter. He quotes Rishlomo Kluger and Rishlomo Zalman. And he says, buy the coffee with the flavor. And with the sufganil with the water, you should be machmir. He says, the stadim lakana lakana. He's against Reshechter. Reshechter was Mekel. I was hoping, I was waiting to see. So both Chacham Yitzchak on that recording, and also the Halacha Barah, I saw both do not accept Rishlomo Kluger's Kula. And they say what it says in the Shulchan Aruch over here, you'll say it's only after the fact. Now, they say what Rishlomo Zalman said, the Shulchan Aruch does not say Shishim. They say it means Rov, but it means after the fact. It means there's a rule that if Zev Zeh Gorim, if you have two things, they both give a taste. So you have some salt that's mutar, some salt that's heter. Zev Zeh Gorim, then it's mutar, because really, you don't need bitul for the salt. Really, as long as you're not going to taste the salt in and of itself, it's just bring out taste in other things. Zev Zeh Gorim will be mutar from something that's asur. That's the kula that they want to say. Now, I looked inside in the Shibulai Aleket myself, and to me, it seems very clearly not like Rishlomo Zalman Auerbach. It seems very clearly like Rishlomo Kluger, but I'm not entitled to an opinion. That is the opinion of Rav David and Chacham Yitzchak not to use this rule of Beitul Berov. Anyway, so therefore they would say with the flavored coffee to probably use a thing Kli Shlishi, not to use the Kli Sheni. Is that what it says in that Yeshiva when you were saying from the beginning? Okay, good. Okay, good. They're the flavored ones. Okay, fine. Okay. Now, I want to go now to Sif Zion, and we'll finish with this. Sif Zion. The idea of Sif Zion is like this. We're going to finish up real soon. that goes as follows. Yesh mefarshim hadishari lahniya kli sheish bo davar cham agabi kedera atmuna afilo kli tachton al eishari. First opinion says you're allowed, if you have a pot that's on the fire that's hot, put another food or another pot on top of that. Kedera agabi kedera. One pot on top of the other pot. It's not a problem of hachzara, of returning food from the fridge onto the fire. It looks like you're cooking. This does not look like you're cooking. That's the first opinion. Second opinion says, asur. Yesh mefarshim. Shem kli tachton. Hal esh l'olam. Asur. You cannot do that. Now, usually we have yesh v'yesh. As we just said, we usually follow the second. So over here, it should be asur du kedir agar kedir. However, the acharnim are all posek le'kula. And they have proofs that were posek le'kula from other places. I don't know them right now, but even the Mishnah Berurah over here says that's the halakha, we follow the first opinion. So that's the idea with I want to find the proofs for it, but right now I can't find them, I don't know. But the Mishnah Berurah Nun Vav quotes that Mekilim. I think l'halakha, I know l'halakha, we are Mekel. So you can take the bread and put it onto your cholin pot, or your chicken soup pot, or if you have a Kadir, a pot on top of a pot, that's all fine on Shabbat. All right, any questions on what we did today? And we're going to try to finish cooking on Wednesday this week. We're going to try to finish. And I have one question for you. Is anybody interested in doing Haggadah Divrei Torah? I would maybe give one night, I don't know, next week or something. Would anybody be interested in that? Would you want me to do that instead of one of this, like on Monday night next week, a week from tonight? Do we do that, or should we do that some other time? Any thoughts? Another time? Isaac, what do you want? What do you say? Do you have an opinion? Okay. Roberto, you have an opinion? You want it? Okay, you can let me know. You can text me, whatever you feel. Okay, the Seder, we could do that. Well, so I'll let everybody know, but maybe we'll do something for the Seder one time next week. Okay, we'll switch for the Seder.